So we want to talk to you a little bit about our definition of the shadow. Robert Bly has a wonderful little book called A Little Book on the Human Shadow. And in that book, he talks about how we're all born into a 360-degree personality.
By that he means that when we're born, we just express the full circle of our human nature. All of what we are, everything that comes to us, we just express as it comes. Our internal sensors or editors aren't online yet to keep us holding things back. We express our entirety.
But as we grow, our friends and teachers and parents help us to take certain slices of that pie. And Bly says, throw it over our shoulder into like a bag that we then drag around behind us for the rest of our life. Mm-hmm. We are encouraged to bag a good percentage of who we are.
Our culture and everyone around us teaches us what behaviors are acceptable in this society and what behaviors aren't acceptable, who we are allowed to be and who we are not allowed to be. And it isn't just the what we consider more negative stuff, my anger or my killer instincts or my greed or selfishness. But for many of us, it's also the more golden sides of my personality, my healthy grandiosity, my self-esteem. You know, we have real negative stuff in our culture that we call people hurt, you know, who are proud of themselves. So lots of our shining stuff or our more wonderful sides can also be thrown in the bag over our shoulder.
So your shadow is whatever you have in the bag.
It's all the repressed, denied, split off parts of you, everything that you think, everything about you that you think you can't be or shouldn't have.
Yep, or can't express out in the light. So it's in the dark, it's in the shadow.
Right.
Okay. So next we want to talk a little bit about how do you know what might be in shadow for you. And one of the easy ways to see that is to see what you project onto other people. The story goes like this, okay? If there's something I see about myself that I really detest, I really don't like, boy, I throw it in the bag so hard it goes around the world, clean around the world, shows up in the person I'm talking to, where it bugs me. Okay, that's projection. Bly says it this way. He says it's like we have a little projector inside ourselves. And whatever is in our shadow, we project onto other people, so we see it outside of ourselves.
And that works for really wonderful stuff once again as well. I might revere leaders in the world or movie stars or what a wonderful person, I could never be like that, I just don't have that in me. So it works for the stuff that bugs me and the stuff that I love in people around me. And it doesn't mean that they don't have that the person might not be a very wonderful person or that person might not be really nasty. But it's one way that I can start to look for what might be in shadow for me. Look at what bugs me and what I love about other people.
In the AA traditions, they say, if you spot it, you got it.
Right.
Okay. If you're the one that's always seeing that, it's probably a part of your shadow.
Exactly.
Another way to tell if something is in the bag for you is to realize that this bag is not hermetically sealed. Okay, stuff leaks out of this bag. And there you can look at, in your life, what sorts of things do you do by accident rather than doing them on purpose?
What things do you find yourself doing completely unintentionally? Some kind of extreme examples about this are, you know, addictions or those things that about me that I just can't control. But a lot of us, in a less extreme way, also have, you know, like my temper. When I suddenly find myself just so angry about something, where did that come from? That is often a clue that I might have anger and shadow. It's a behavior that comes over me that seems to control me rather than me being in control of this behavior.
There's a certain amount of denial that comes in. When I put something in my shadow, I take a stand in my life about how I'm not going to be like that. And then I tend to lose control over that part of myself.
Right.
It will start to control me rather than me being able to control it.
Right.
So another way to look at what might be in your shadow is for you to look at what energies control you rather than you controlling them.
So the object of shadow work, you know, why would someone want to do shadow work? Well, we believe that there's power in those pieces of myself, that those are part of me, they're part of my human nature, and that there's usefulness in there, but that I need a place, I need a safe place to go where I can work with that. If I just bring my killer instinct or my anger back out of the bag and try to just bring it right back into my life, I'm liable to have some unpleasant consequences.
Yep, going to run into the same problems I ran into when it was out there the first time. So shadow work is about being able to take something out of the bag, but it's being able to take something out of the bag in a safe, productive way so that we can get the value out of those parts of ourselves without running into all kinds of harmful consequences or embarrassing situations in our life.
Right. It's a way to regain control over a part of myself that right now seems to be controlling me, so that I can start to take control back from that part of myself.
Right. Now, we'll often find that, I'll find when I bring something out of my shadow at first, it's kind of yucky. I mean, it's kind of smelly or crusty.
Especially
been in there.
The longer it's been in the bag.
Right. A while, it tends to ferment or something. So shadow work is a place, a safe place, for me to bring something out and be able to deal with it before I have to try and bring it out right into the main line of my life.
Right. Okay. We see having a shadow, that the process of putting stuff in the bag and then taking it out a piece at a time, we see that process as useful, as not as something that I want to get over. I don't believe that I'm necessarily ever going to become a shadow-free person. Rather, I see shadow work, working with my shadow in whatever way I choose to do that. The way we do shadow work is just one way. But working with my shadow is a way of powering my life. There's a way that I can learn about myself through taking a piece out of the bag, working with it, finding the useful energy at the center of that crusty, smelly thing that I want to take with me and take back out into my life.
For me, it's about becoming a fully mature person. It's like when I'm an infant, yes, all this stuff comes through me unedited, but I cannot control all of that. It's sort of like a kid just banging on a piano or something. And it's of order, I think, in my life that I should put stuff in the bag so I can learn to play one or two keys at a time, learn to do the simple scales, the simple harmonies. But then as I get older and older, I want to be able to bring more and more of myself back in so I can have a glorious harmony, so I can use the whole keyboard of who I am, so I can have my whole 360-degree personality back and use that in my life. We want to talk to you now about the term container. We want to define for you what we mean by the term container. Mm. The container is a psychological space or a state of mind of a group of people who are doing shadow work. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like the cauldron in which the witch's brew is being brewed, or whenever there's a process going on, there needs to be something around it that sort of holds it. And that's what we mean by the container, that which contains the shadow work process. We often say that there can't be safe shadow work without a safe container. And we see the quality of the space, the state of mind in which shadow work is done, as being determined very much by the beliefs which surround that work. It's really our beliefs that make up any container for any experience we can have. Our beliefs qualify whatever experiences we have.
Yes, and in order for a container to be a safe place for you to do a piece of shadow work, we see it as very important that you know our beliefs as facilitators, our beliefs about shadow and shadow work, working with shadow, and life, and how those things fit together. Because It is only in that way that you will be able to determine how, whether or not shadow work fits for you. Whether or not, when you are able to measure how your beliefs fit with our beliefs and where they might not fit, and where they might fit quite well, then you can make a decision about whether or not shadow work is appropriate for you.
Yes. If you're going to come and take something out of your bag and have other people help you with that, you want to have a safe container there.
Yes.
And the best way to do that is for you to know what beliefs are present in that container so that you aren't going to get swayed or pushed or influenced or manipulated by some belief there that you don't know exists.
Right. We're not interested in changing your beliefs necessarily. We're not here to share our beliefs with you in order to make you agree with them. You can or you cannot, and you don't have to agree with our beliefs in order to do shadow work or in order to have us facilitate shadow work with you. It's more a matter of it's safer, we believe, for you to do shadow work when you know what our beliefs are and what your beliefs are and how they match. That helps hold the container around you.
Right. When you come to a shadow work seminar, the first thing we'll ask mm-hmm. you in that seminar is, what do you want to have happen here? Mm-hmm. What do you want to have happen here? That's a way of beginning to build the container for you so that you have some boundary or something to hold your intention. So that you know what you came there to do, we know what you came there to do. It's much easier for all of us than not to cross each other's boundaries in doing this work. Because shadow work can be incredibly transformative. I know many, many people who mark their lives by before they did shadow work and after they did shadow work. And if you're going to want to do that kind of transformation of your own viewpoint on yourself and on reality and on the world, you're going to want to have a place where you're not being influenced or manipulated while you're doing that.
Right.
Another way to characterize this work is to say that the bag we're dragging around behind us is a bag full of onions.
It's like every piece of the pie that I take and throw over my shoulder into the bag. I can also think of that bag as being full of onions rather than slices of pie.
We want shadow work to be a fully consensual process mm-hmm. so that you can choose which onion you take out of the
bag. If any.
How far you go towards the center of that onion. If you want to take out your meat cleaver and carve right to the center of the thing right off, that's fine. Or if you only want to peel the outside layer, that's fine as well. We want you to decide exactly what you want to have happen here in this container.
If anything, it is very much our belief that shadow work is not necessarily appropriate for every single person at every single moment of their life. And you really are the one who needs to determine that for yourself. Whether or not this fits for you now is really your decision.
Right. There's a couple of dimensions that go into any place. Any physical place is always dependent on physical space and the way time flows through physical space. Mm. The relationship between space and time have much to do with what makes up our physical reality. The same is true in terms of psychological places. There's time there, psychological time, and there's psychological space. We're going to talk to you a great deal on this tape about how we see the space aspect of our container. We'll show you in all four directions what beliefs we see exist around this container, so you are very familiar with them.
Mm-hmm.
But first, we want to talk to you a little bit about how we see shadow work fits in the cycle of a time container. And as we've said, we think it's of order for people to be putting things in the bag early in a cycle and then
yes.
taking them back out and learning to use them later in a cycle.
There's a way that you can look at your life as being one long cycle of this, where through the first part of your life you're putting things in the bag, through the latter part of your life you're taking things out of the bag. But there's also cycles within that longer cycle, so that in some cycles I might be in the place of taking things out of the bag, whereas in others I may just be starting a different cycle where I'm putting things in the bag.
Right. It's sort of like going up a mountain and then coming down mm-hmm. the other side. Shadow work is most appropriate when you're coming down the other side, when you're taking things back out of the bag. And if you're coming down off a mountain and you've learned something there and you want to bring out something new about yourself that maybe you've put in the bag on your way up the mountain, it's good to have a way station. It's good to have a place before you get all the way back down into your regular old life again to be able to take things out of the bag and to process them where there aren't any harmful consequences or embarrassing things that come out with people you have many relations with, or things that might hurt you or other people. So we see the shadow work container as being a place that we call a ritual container, or a symbolic container, or a way station kind of container, mm-hmm. where you can bring things out of the bag and work on them until you're able to integrate the gold in them, mm-hmm. until you're able to bring out the beauty of that thing and or harness its power into your life, and then you can decide what you take out of that ritual container and integrate into your real life later.